This is the Vet Alumni Podcast with Tech and Prem.
Vet Alumni Podcast. I'm Tech. He's Prem. Couple, you know, music producers talking Philly sports, and what a glorious day it is in the city of Philadelphia.
Glorious is one way that I think some people might describe it. Me personally, I look at it like a crisis is an opportunity.
Right.
That's how I look at this. We're in a major crisis as a football team.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity for all parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, Sunday, Green Bay Packers, you're at Lambeau, no fans.
Very odd.
It was odd.
Still odd.
Very bizarre without the fans.
It is.
And Carson comes out first half, and, you know, I've seen him look worse. He wasn't terrible.
But no.
What did it for me? There was the back-to-back sacks.
I noticed that, too. And there's something about quarterbacks that take sacks versus quarterbacks that don't take sacks. If you watch guys like Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or even new names like Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, there's a mental clock that you have as a quarterback where you know that once you hit that three-second point, you need to move.
Gotta
and
move.
Here's the problem, though. On a lot of these plays, I'll say at least 30% of the sacks this year. 30%, I'll say. I didn't evaluate all of them like some people have. He doesn't even have 3 seconds.
No.
So you got to take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I think that's what he mouthed. He mouthed 3 freaking seconds or whatever he said.
Oh, is that what? Well, there you go. There's a testament to it.
I think he said that.
Well, you know, and
he was angry.
I think what also went into this decision by Doug, which I agree with, and I'll get to in our Wednesday afternoon quarterback segment. I think that what went into this is that going into that game, you were only a half game back in the division. And now when you lose that game and the rest of your division wins, the Giants and Washington both win, now you're looking at your schedule and you're seeing New Orleans, Arizona, Washington, Dallas. And you're thinking, we're lucky to win one more game this year.
Oh, absolutely. I have as well one more game.
Even with Carson at quarterback.
Right.
So you got nothing to lose by putting the kid in.
I 1,000% agree. I've agreed for a long time. This is long overdue from my perspective. I look at it like this, though, okay? My takeaway from this is Doug's play calling was effective when Carson was out, okay? I saw us move the ball. I saw receivers open.
Here's one thing you're not thinking about, Tech, and this is I don't want to be redundant, but I'm going to cover this in depth in a segment.
All right.
When you have a quarterback come into a game on the road with 7 minutes left in the game and the team that you're playing against is up by 20 points on their home field, you are not going to have tight windows to throw to. You're going to have a lot of room because it's soft coverage. You're up by 20 points. So when you look, when they had to actually tighten down and play defense again after the Rager punt return, they did. So that's part of it, too. But the Greg Ward pass was phenomenal. The pass to Greg Ward was phenomenal. It was exactly what you want to see from a young quarterback.
But even when they clamped down, he got out of the pocket and created 2 back-to-back first down runs.
He did.
Something that you just don't see Carson. It's not that Carson won't do it. It's that Carson can't really do it like that.
Well, he's been doing it lately a little bit more, though.
Yeah,
if you think of something
he drives
in the last 2 weeks, he's been running a little more.
He sort of like lumbers.
He doesn't look the same, man.
No, he is not the same.
You know, since the Super Bowl, we are a below 500 football team.
Absolutely.
So when people look at this and say, if anyone's saying, oh, this is a brash decision, how are you going to sit
really
down?
It really isn't.
It's not because, everyone on this that listens to the show has heard me. I'm a big proponent of Carson, and I've been a supporter of Carson. But however, you have to take away the emotional aspect and look at something objectively and ask yourself this question: what is best for a football team? And right now, what's best for a football team is to gather as much information as possible about the players you have on your roster to make the proper decisions in the offseason with the salary cap, with trade moves, and with your draft picks.
Yeah, because the move, my outset is that Hurts starts the rest of the way.
4 games, good sample size.
That's all I really
good
need,
sample size.
Right? And then you go into the offseason with Carson Wentz being the favorite to enter camp as the starting QB. Now, I do believe there should be a QB competition. They should be competing to see who's going to be the quarterback.
I'm with you. Seth Joyner said the same thing. And I agree with Seth Joyner completely on that.
I almost think, though, that if you see what you think you need to see one way or the other from Hurts, that a trade happens before we get into training camp.
That's a tricky thing, and there have been a few tweets about this today I've seen from a few key people in the media, Elliot Shore Parks being one of them, basically putting out the case for moving Carson's contract. Now, I have a what-if for you,
Now, for me, it's not just about Carson. I mean, you may see what you want to see out of Hurts, and he might be the one that gets dealt.
That I heard that on Mikey Miss earlier. Mikey Miss was talking. Actually, that's what Mikey Miss was saying as well. He was saying, if you find out what value both of these guys have,
then you know which one you can move.
But at the same time, man, I don't think you spend a second-round pick on a guy just to trade him. I think that it makes more sense to get some assets back for a guy like Carson that has maybe a first-round pick value from somebody out there that needs a QB, and then you take Hurts on his rookie contract, and you can put the pieces around him that you failed as an organization to put around Carson. And I need to add comment on that, too. Carson's failure here is not only Carson Wentz can't play
quarterback anymore. No, it's an organizational failure. I can't even put it all on Carson.
It truly is. But you have to see what you got with Hurts right now. You have to know.
I absolutely agree with that. Wentz is broken right now, but I do think he could be fixed.
I do too.
With a real training camp and, you know, a coaching staff.
I want to see an open competition. I want to see both these guys on the roster next year.
Me too.
And in the event that Hurts wins the job and you're stuck with this, quote, $30 million backup quarterback, Carson Wentz,
they won't get stuck. They'll figure out a way to move it.
They'll figure something out. They'll figure something out because that's what football teams do.
Right. Avonte Maddox just might be the worst cornerback in football. I mean, he's definitely one of the worst I've ever seen.
It hurts, man. He's a Pitt guy. I'm a Pitt guy. You know, I always like to see Pitt alumni in the league, and that hurts, man.
He's not a pro, cornerback.
Letting Rasul Douglas go is a quiet failure by Howie Roseman because Douglas was still a ball hawk, even if he got beat sometimes.
Yeah.
He's still a ball hawk, and he played very good in Schwartz's system on, like, the third and five, third and six. Those types of plays, Douglas was a good player. And, you know, sticking with Maddox, I'm just disappointed that they picked wrong on that one.
Right, and we don't even have to discuss Sidney Jones because we know what happened there.
Well, you know, it still could be, it's a small sample size in Jacksonville.
Slay wasn't 100%. He had a calf issue coming in. He reportedly hurt it further during the game, and he played through it. Nevertheless, he was dominated for the second straight week.
And Davante Adams is an elite wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers is an elite quarterback. They're one of the best duos in the entire league. Maybe only behind Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes, possibly. I mean, realistically.
Possibly.
I mean, you can always make the argument for Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
There's only a few combos that are as good as Rodgers to Adams.
And we could have had Adams, by the way. Chose Jordan Matthews.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
I know.
We've beat that rabbit hole to death.
What else? Jason Peters. He's a complete disaster.
He's an older guy now. You know?
The O-line was at its absolute worst.
Terrible.
And you know when they showed glimmers of hope? When Peters went out.
Yeah, this is just a bad football team. You know, we haven't had this type of year since 2012 and Andy's last year where we had four wins and they blew it up and brought Chip Kelly in. I don't think Doug Peterson's going to lose his job because I think that he's going to get one more crack at it one way or another with either Hurts or Wentz. But then next year would be a real short leash, I believe, if they do bring him back.
You got to get weapons around the quarterback. I mean, you got Alshon out there. He looks like Frankenstein.
He's, bro.
I mean, it's atrocious.
Alshon? He's not an old guy,
he's
man.
He's playing over Fogum. He's getting Fogum snaps.
He's 30 years old. He's not an old guy.
He looks
30,
washed.
He's 30, 32. I don't know. It doesn't make a difference.
He looks washed.
He does, man.
I mean,
he just
completely
doesn't have,
washed.
He's got nothing left.
And he's out there taking minutes away, taking snaps away from Fogum. And this just goes back to the front office's philosophy. I don't know if it's Howie or Jeffrey Lurie or the two of them.
Yeah.
They just want to start the guys they got big contracts going to. It doesn't matter who the better football player is. Mailata plays whenever Peters comes out.
Right.
He's better than Peters. Peters shouldn't be playing.
Mailata is actually performed very well.
He's
quietly
really good.
If you look at some of the offensive line evaluations of tackles, he's been the lone bright spot on the line besides Kelsey, who's just a stalwart.
Right. They won't cut Jake Elliott.
Little kicky boy.
Another contract.
Little
Another
kicky boy's,
big
contract.
This,
missing,
you know that's why they won't cut him.
Extra points, man.
They won't cut him because of the big contract factor. Same thing with Alshon. Same thing with Peters. I mean, it's the same philosophy that's been going on with Wentz. Finally, when it boiled over and you saw what Hurts was, just for a little bit, that spark he gave, you'd be nuts not to start him going into next week.
Yeah, you got to know. You got to know what you got.
But this philosophy the front office has, it is disturbing. It's a disturbing trend, especially when you got guys like Belichick and Bill Parcells, legends, who always had those coach-like mantras of, I don't care what your contract says. I don't care how much you make.
Yeah.
I'm going with the best players that give me a position to win.
Exactly.
Games.
It's based on merits of performance, not merits of contracts.
Yeah.
And it should be that way. But the problem is,
in today's
NFL, it's different because, you know, you're talking about Bill Parcells. He was such an old school mentality. And obviously.
Well, Belichick, though. Belichick, he is the same thing. He doesn't care how much you make. He'll bench you if he feels like the guy behind you, who might make a fraction of what you're making, is playing better. And this Philadelphia Eagles organization will not do that. They place contract ahead of performance, and it's outrageous.
I agree, man. I mean, we have talked about the personnel department and the front office in terms of scouting and talent evaluation. That whole thing, in my opinion, needs to be restructured if you're going to have success. Otherwise, you're going to have a repeat type of situation with Jalen Hurts.
Right.
If in fact, Jalen Hurts is the guy. Now, again, I want to make it clear for everyone listening, this isn't like a permanent thing right now where, oh, Carson Wentz is out the door right now. It's not that.
No, not at all.
It's not that. People might be misled to think that, but it's not.
Right.
And this is an evaluation phase.
I'm a huge Ertz guy, but I know it feels hard to believe because I've been lobbying for this for such a long time. But, you know, I am a Wentz guy. I love Wentz. I want Wentz to come back with a clear mind, ready to play at a level that he's played at before. I don't want to see him, you know, get traded or get benched or never be an Eagle quarterback again. It's not, I think he's fixable. I think going into next year, I mean, look, the only thing that could possibly change my mind as early as next week is if Jalen Hurts comes in and completely lights it up.
I hope he does. And that's an elite defense. You want to evaluate a guy against good competition. You don't want to evaluate a guy based on coming in down 20 points on the road in the fourth quarter. You need to see him against the Saints because the Saints are a top three defense this year, top five defense maybe.
Coming up, the debut of the vet line, Coach Scrat Wilson.
Ring, ring.
It's coming up.
Vet Alumni. Rudolph, take us to where we can let our sleigh bells rock.
Pro-line music, pro-line music.
Everything for the musician. Tis the season to get great gear at great prices.
Pro-line music.
Buy a guitar, get four free lessons. In-store or online.
Pro-line music.
Don't forget our on-site repair service center. It's been a tough year to say the least. So get the best price possible. Only at
Pro-line music. Call 215-736-8055.
One more time.
215-736-8055.
Tell them what we're close to.
Trenton Ewing, Lawrenceville, Yardley, Morrisville, Brothers Hills, Levittown, Lower Bigfield.
What's the name again?
Pro-Line Music.
Pro-Line Music. Everything for the musician.
And now, it's the Vet Line.
Answer the damn phone.
It's the Vet Line, and we are pleased to introduce our first guest.
Tech, tonight we got Coach Scrap Wilson, Miles Sanders youth football coach from the Swiss Vale Golden Flashes. Coached Miles Sanders in his formative years as a young running back. A little background for our listeners. Scrap and I worked together on the Pittsburgh music scene for a few years, about a decade ago. He's a really talented MC as well. And to start, Scrap, you know, when did you get into coaching youth sports?
I started coaching youth sports about 20 years ago, man. 2000, exactly. Like the year 2000, about 20 years ago.
Yeah, so you got two decades put in. And at what point in Miles' development did you coach him?
2009. Man, he was a part of our organization. Our organization starts at like 6 and it goes all the way to 13. So he's played with the organization from 6 all the way to 13.
So, significant amount of time for sure.
Yeah, I've seen him from the time he first picked up a football to the last youth football game, because he ended up going, he went directly from youth football. He actually started his freshman year in high school. So he was, it was time flies, man. So it was about I know it was 09 for sure, because we won the championship in 09.
Okay.
And I want to say 08 and 07.
So you came in right off the bat and was just performing at a young age.
Yeah.
Coach Scrapp, when did you know that Miles was a NFL running back? Like, when did you see it first?
To be honest, and I just always use Miles as an example, just period, just with a lot of kids, because Miles was just, he's a special kid, man. Like, he just was fast, and he just had really good vision. He just was, you could just tell, man. Sometimes you could know, like, if a kid, you see it and you're like, if they put the right work behind what they have, you can see that they'll be able to excel. Like, I've seen it a few times in some athletes that I coached, you know what I mean? So you can see it, like, you can see the talent, and you can see, like, with the potential that he has, like, some of the things he does, it's like, whoa, like, that's going to enhance later. But hopefully, you know, if he puts the drive to it and everything, that'll get him to where he needs to go. And that's one thing he always had, was like that passion and that drive to be different, and just to work on his own. He always separated himself. He was never really a follower, you know what I mean? He always just stuck to himself and played football. He made it look fun, you know what I mean? I never seen him not smiling playing the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, he always does have a big smile on his face, man. It must have been a proud day when you saw the Eagles take him a couple years back.
It was definitely a proud day, man. Like, well, I remember one day after a game, a high school game, and he was sitting down, and I just remember coming up, like, sitting down, and he was sitting down by the CVS, and I remember just talking to him, and he was, like, talking about school and stuff, and I was just like, you should go to Penn State, you know what I mean? I just threw it out there, because I was just like, you know, they had lifted all their little sanctions and stuff, and then it just seemed like nobody was really there, but I didn't know Saquon Barkley was going to be... good as he was going to be, but you know, they got pretty lucky to have two good backs. So, you know, once the Eagles drafted him, I thought it was cool. I thought it was a nice gesture, being that he's a Pennsylvania kid. You know what I mean? He played football in Pennsylvania. I just kind of honestly wish it was vice versa. Like, I'm not a big Steeler fan, but I wish Connor went to Philly and Miles would have came to Pittsburgh. I think they would have.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's understandable why you'd want to have, you know, your guy, you know, always in your city still playing pro ball.
And, you know, hopefully he follows in the footsteps of other local guys, like LeSean McCoy was a PA guy in Pitt.
Yeah.
And Brian Westbrook went to Villanova, right? So there it is. And now we got Miles Sanders, and I'm just kind of hoping he would end up like a Brian Westbrook kind of player.
Right. That's how I feel. Like, that's one thing that I like with him and Connor, similarities. You know what I mean? They both played high school football. They both played midget football in PA, high school football in PA, college football in PA, and professional in PA. So I take my hat off to that, because that's just like, that's definitely like, it gives a Pennsylvania kid a dream, a vision, like, you know, somebody to be like, you know what I mean? So I think that's pretty cool that Miles is able to give the kids the vision of being a PA kid all the way, you know, because, like, a lot of times in other cities, like states and stuff like Florida, you know, you get Florida kids. They're just Florida kids all the way through, you know.
Yeah, that state is chock full of talent, always has been. And just so our listeners know, the team that Scrapp coached Miles Sanders on was the Swissvale Golden Flashes. I actually lived in Swissvale for 9 years. So, you know, a little behind-the-scenes storyline there with that one.
Yeah, it's a nice traditional football program, you know what I mean? Miles was just, bro, like, he just gave you what you asked for out of a football player, you know what I'm saying? Just being able to watch somebody like him grow from the beginning of when he started playing football to when he just had it all figured out, man. It's just amazing to watch. You know, it's just really amazing to watch, and just to be able to say that you were able to witness it and play a part of it. And just, you know, he's a good kid. He comes back to banquets and talks to the kids, and he just bought sweatshirts for the high school team, sweatsuits for the high school team. You know, so he's a really good kid. You know what I mean? He's still a kid. You know what I mean? That's what I love about him, is that he just keeps that smile on his face, man. And he's always around the right people. He's always been. He's never been really into like nothing but football and good stuff, man. For real.
I get that vibe from him. He strikes me as a diligent guy, hardworking, blue collar kind of player.
Right. Yep. And I don't know if you know this, but you know Iceman Instrumentals.
Yeah, I used to work with Ice occasionally when he would come through my spot in Swissville. Like, I'm going back like 13 years now, man. That's crazy.
That's his brother.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that to me briefly, and you said that Ice was actually better than Miles.
Yeah, I always say that, and like a lot of people be like, "What are you crazy?" And I be like, "No, like Brian was really good. When I coached, Miles was on a younger team while Brian was on the older team, and then Brian ended up playing for Woodland Hills, and he didn't get that break like Miles did.
Right,
Brian was nice with the ball, and then you can only imagine, you know what I mean? He was undersized too. He was never really a big guy, but he was undersized. But you could see where Miles got it from, for real. Like, you could tell, like,
it's the pedigree. Pedigree was there.
Yeah, and he looked up to his brother, for real. And you could tell that, like, he learned from his brother, definitely, 100%. So,
that's the way it's supposed to be, I think.
I always give Brian or Iceman knows that shout out, because just as a coach, from my perspective, you know, this was just some things that, you know, Brian could do that Miles couldn't do. Like, Brian was more...
Wow.
Brian was more aggressive, you know what I mean?
He was Brian more, with a little more anger, maybe?
Yeah, like, a little more thuggish, feel me?
Gotcha.
Miles was more like Purdy, you know what I mean? He'd shake your baby, get around you, dip on you. Brian would just surprise you and hit you with a dip, might put a shoulder down on you or something, you know what I mean?
So like a Walter Payton style versus a Barry Sanders type of style.
Yeah, right. But just Brian was just smaller, but he was a big, I always say that Miles definitely looked up to his brother running the ball, and it just seems like sometimes I believe that he played the game personal for his brother, because his brother should have played a lot more.
Got you, man. Yeah, that makes sense.
It seemed like when Miles got his opportunity, he didn't know he just ran the ball for himself. He ran it for his brother, too. That's how I always looked at it. You know what I mean?
Coach Scrat, on Sunday against the Green Bay Packers, the opening drive, Miles is in there, gets 5 touches, runs the ball pretty effectively.
Looked good, yeah.
For the rest of the way, gets 5 more touches, ending up with 10 carries total. A couple weeks ago, he had a crucial fumble. Last week, he had a couple drops. From a coach's perspective, I think I can speak for everyone in the city of Philadelphia when we say we want to see him used more in this offense. From a coach's perspective, what are you seeing?
I see. All right. So the perfect analogy would be, just like Prim said, you have Walter Payton and you have Barry Sanders. I see them using a Barry Sanders style running back as a Walter Payton style running back.
Right.
Instead of treating him like he's a Barry Sanders style running back.
That's a good assessment.
I just feel like, you know, trying to jam him up the middle every now and then. But not even every now and then, majority of the time, just isn't. Penn State didn't even do that, you know what I mean? They split the field out, they, you know, they countered with him, they just utilized him for his speed and his abilities, you know what I mean? I don't know what it is with the NFL coaches these days, but I just feel like they complicate the game. and they try to make the player understand their system instead of creating a system to understand the player.
Ooh, you know, there's the point right there. That's the absolute fact.
And it's the truth, especially with this system, because I can't wrap my head around it. I'm thinking, how do you wrap your head around watching the Eagles, watching a running back that you know personally and you know what he can do, and to see him being used like he's being used? It's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And what makes it mind-boggling, too, like, while we're mind-boggled, like, I would believe this because I was a football player. I would be mind-boggled, too. And it would start to, I think it would degress some of my play. And then my attention just wouldn't be there. It's like, why are we running this play? All right, whatever. Here I go.
That's the psychology of the play. Yeah, man.
It's like, you know, and you just start, you know, after a while, I don't know how the business works. You know, I believe in my eyes, like, athletes will do the right thing. But at the same time, I believe sometimes when athletes are fed up, they have an opportunity. They have an opportunity to get rehired.
That's true. Yeah.
So they tend to not get the coach as much as they would give, because it's like, we're grown now and I don't need to impress you. I'm doing this for work, you know, and I'm just going to, you keep putting me out here in plays where I'm not going to give you the extra effort. I'll give you the effort, but at the same time, you know, I just feel like that's how athletes get when they're grown. I always wonder that, like, how is it coaching an adult?
You know what I mean? It's like, way different than a kid. That's a good point. I mean, well, this week you better get 25 touches with a rookie quarterback making his first start.
Right. And I'm just like the kind of guy that's just like, what happens if you get on my nerves and I'll be like, all right, well, I won't make no extra effort to catch the ball, dude. You ain't really talking to me like that. Like,
you wonder how much that does happen on a 3-8 football team, too.
There's no way it doesn't happen because they're grown. And, you know, usually what I feel as though is it's all about in coaching, period. It's not, sometimes it's not even about what you know. It's just how you can get them to buy into what you're selling and believe in what it is. Like, you know, like, you can get a team to turn all the way up, man, and they buy what you're selling and just run into a brick wall for you. And then you have some that just be like, I ain't, you know, whatever. I'm here.
One final question to keep in theme with the show and really the pulse of the city right now. Coach Scrapp, was the Eagles' switch to Jalen Hurts the right move?
Me, I always believe if it ain't working, this is the pros. You know what I mean? It's the NFL. It's supposed to be the best of the best.
Yeah,
right.
When you bring the next man up, when he gets his opportunity, when the opportunity is capitalized on and the energy change and the players are moving different, then, I believe that he deserves, maybe not, there's a systematic way to put him in. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know why they don't use quarterbacks like they use running backs and all types of other players. You know what I mean? There's so many different, like, they'll bring a Jalen Hurts in, but they'll run the Wildcat. It's like, what?
Right.
What?
Everybody knows what's coming.
Like, we know what's coming. Like, and he can throw the ball. It's not like he doesn't play quarterback. So sometimes I think that at this point, I think Philly's over Wentz. Like,
feels that way, unfortunately. It does.
Okay, well, here's the second part to the question. Can Carson Wentz be fixed from a coach's perspective?
No, in my perspective, no, because for the last 3 years, the backups have been coming in like relief pitchers. But this isn't baseball. You know what I mean? It's football.
Wow.
So
it's true.
Either you're a starter or you're a backup. You know, and the way that it looks like it to me, it would be, I would, as a coach, open that up to best man at practice plays this week because you're 3-8.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, I want to see Jalen start the last 4 games and then have an open competition.
Man. Sometimes you just got to go with it. You know, and it's the style of the NFL, you know, as I will say this, How do I put this?
It's like a dual threat quarterback league, really.
It's kind of like they're finally realizing, like, oh, we might want to use a lot of these back quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Versus the stand in the pocket quarterback for all these years, like the Tom Brady's, the Ben right. Roethlisbergers, the Drew Brees's. It's cool because they're still the Aaron Rodgers. One thing about them, they have the longevity. You know what I mean? They're still playing. These other guys, they're not going to last long. Their bodies are going to be tore up. But at the end of the day, they protect the quarterback, so they might be fine. So I just believe that the way that you're not allowed to hit people, the way you're not allowed to hit the quarterback, and the way a quarterback can just take off running and slide, I think hurts the guy because of just the way the new NFL is. If you have a mobile quarterback that can throw, run, pass, run the option, catch a pass, I just think in this new NFL, you're better off just putting them in.
Yeah.
Unless you have an elite defense to – it's all about the defense. All the coaches that I name, all the players that I name, the veterans, they all have a really good defense because that stuff doesn't work. Like, you know, you got Mahomes, you got Russell Wilson, you got all of these guys, Watson, there's black quarterbacks everywhere.
Kyler Murray as well.
They can run for 5 yards on 3rd and 5. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, so.
And that's Wentz was supposed to be, and he was initially. I mean, it's just remarkable the degeneration of performance, basically, how quick it happened.
Yeah, so I feel as though, like, I think Philly should move on from him for real. I think it's just time to, you know, you give a person a chance. You know, you're still not out of it. Like your division is crazy.
It's pretty poor. It's pretty poor.
So I mean, sometimes you gotta find a spark. You know, they put Tebow in Denver. He had 4 wins in a row at the end.
That's true. And then I think they beat the Steelers in OT.
Right. They go in the playoffs and then they beat the Steelers. So it's like, Sometimes people just need a different push. They'd be tired of stuff like, man, I'm tired of this dude, man.
Hey, I think we've heard rumblings of that, too. And it's unfortunate, but, hey, like you said, it's professional football and it's not youth football. So the consequences are a little different.
Yeah, but I would really like this, like, back to just before we go. I really think that, like, just in the NFL, period, but focusing on Philly, you know, like, you gotta run the ball, man. You gotta run the ball.
Oh, Jesus, yes. I don't know what they're doing out there, Scrap. I don't know what they're doing, Coach.
It's all of these teams, man. For some reason, it's like pass, pass, pass. But it's like you can't really set much up without running the ball. So.
And unfortunately, I don't think we're gonna see, you know, a leopard change its spots on Sunday. I just don't see it happening.
Well, you know how the NFL works. He'll be hurt. He'll be hurt in a week.
Oh, man, let's not put that into the universe for our boy Jalen.
No. That's how they bench him. You know what I mean? They don't want to. They don't publicly bench him. They'll just say Wentz has a shoulder injury.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Well, I mean, they already made the injury.
It probably already just started up. The energy in the city is already anticipating to see what he can do.
It is big time.
Oh yeah, I think I've never seen a 3-8-1 team have such a must-watch game coming up.
right. So who maybe they'll use Miles a little bit more to open it up. You know,
hope so.
That's because with the two of them, you could get pretty shifty and nifty with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's about creativity.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys having me, man. I wish we could have talked a lot more.
We'll have you on again, definitely. We appreciate you coming on the Vet Line.
Yeah, man, thanks once again, always, Scrap, and we'll set something up in the future to get you back on after the season wraps up.
All right, cool. Thanks, I appreciate it, man.
Vet alumni.
It's my quarterback.
To the end zone, touchdown! Jalen Hurts' first touchdown pass goes to Greg Ward.
Well, this is outstanding. What a perfect soft throw right over the top.
So from one outstanding college quarterback to another outstanding college quarterback, Hurts to Ward.
It's Wednesday afternoon quarterback.
It is a glorious day on Wednesday afternoon quarterback this week.
Oh, you're so excited.
I must say, I'm gleeful, in fact.
Well, it is the season to be gleeful. Now today, Tech, though, I mentioned this briefly in our intro. A crisis is an opportunity for all parties involved.
Yes.
It's an opportunity for Doug Peterson to save his job with an inspired finish.
Yep.
Regardless of the QB. It's an opportunity for Carson Wentz to do some self-reflection and realize that nothing is promised.
Yep.
Regardless of this crazy contract.
Right.
And it's an opportunity for Jalen Hurts to potentially grab hold of the future of the franchise with efficient turnover-free ball.
Yeah.
Because if he does that, he should be named the starter or at least an open competition going into 2021. But here's the thing. With three wins, and honestly now, remarkably, out of the division title talk, this team has everything to gain by assessing what we have in order to approach what looks like a top six draft pick to me.
Hopefully a top five.
You know, I mentioned an open competition in 2021, and that's what I stand by, just like Eagle Hall of Famer Seth Joyner. I agree with Seth on that. Competition is good for people. Competition brings out the best, especially in athletes. And forget about the contract. You want to put the best product on the field. So I'm a proponent, honestly, man, for Hurts to start this week against an elite defense, which he was named the starter. The Saints are no joke on defense. They give quarterbacks a tough time all year.
Malcolm Jenkins
coming back to the link. It's an interesting storyline here with this one.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm not... Now, is it the game of the week? Is it we getting the game of the week?
It could be.
3-8.
Unlikely. You know, it may be in a different dimension this would have been the game of the week.
Yeah.
You know, but again, Hurts, you got to remember as far as evaluating Jalen in his rookie year, he came into a 23-3 game like we kind of talked about a little bit in the intro. The defense is going to play you with an entirely different approach at that point in the game. It's not a great way to evaluate a kid. But we had no preseason this year.
No, this will be the preseason.
Yeah, I mean it's a testament to the uniqueness of COVID times.
Absolutely.
Because professional sporting leagues that are making billions of dollars a year can't operate normally.
Right.
That's a side note. So to wrap up Wednesday afternoon quarterback here, Tech, if Hurts is allowed to start against the Saints, which he is, and he performs well, you know, you have a situation where maybe you found something here in the second round. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you need to see what happens in the offseason as far as contract movement, draft picks, salary cap adjustment, front office personnel rearranging. I mean, there's so much that this team needs. It's amazing that we're so focused on the quarterback.
But it's a focus, and I'll tell you why. Because this kid who was, quote-unquote, not ready. A lot of fans said it. A lot of people I know said it. And I got big news for you. This kid can play. He came from two, not one, but two.
Count him.
Major college programs.
He was a big-time Division I A player.
Yes, he's played in multiple championship games, regardless of outcome. And he's won a championship.
Well, we talked about the benching last week.
Yes, I know. But listen, then he went to Oklahoma. And he took them. And it was a Heisman runner-up. I mean, the kid, let's not disrespect this kid.
I agree.
He could come right in, and it could be one of those things that happens when you see somebody take over a franchise. It could be that.
It could be. Now, let me just say this. And I think it's important because I've always been a fan of Carson Wentz. I was excited when he was drafted. I was excited when he took us to an 11-1 mark, basically setting up a championship on a silver platter for Nick Foles. Everything he's done has been professional and mostly with a lot of ability and passion put into it. The result just isn't translating in the last couple seasons the way we would have expected to. But I don't think Carson has seen his last success as an NFL quarterback. That's the hot button question that we're hearing a lot. You know, will it come down to Philly being the end-all, be-all for Carson Wentz? I don't really believe it. I think he's going to get another second chance somewhere if he does leave here.
And, because he's still the favorite in my mind going into next season as the starting quarterback. Like I said, unless Hurts lights it up.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you still. You know, I just want to remind our fans that we have to operate objectively here. You have to set your emotion aside and ask yourself, what is the smartest move for the big picture of the franchise, not what is the smartest move because you did this for a player or because you have this relationship with a player. You have to look at it objectively, and I hope that that's what Jeffrey Lurie and the front office decides to actually do with this crisis, which again is just an opportunity. That has been Wednesday Afternoon Quarterback.
Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie.
You know that the numbers don't lie.
Men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Numbers don't lie.
Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
Keeping it real. Keeping it real. Keeping it real. Keeping it real.
Numbers don't lie. This segment is brought to you by Proline Music, 490 Lincoln Highway, Fairless Hills, PA. Proline Music, everything for the musician. Prem, the numbers, they say it.
I know, man. And you got some cool ones this week involving the Jalens. Our guy Jalen Reagor, you know, much maligned, possibly unfairly to date, had his best professional game. Not only with a key 73-yard punt return touchdown in the fourth quarter, cutting the lead for the Packers 23-16.
I called him a bust last week.
You did, but you know, it's okay, man. It was a hot-button opinion.
I was emotional. I said it was in the moment. You can't hold me past that moment. It was just in the moment.
I agree. In the moment, we say things. That's why there's crimes of passion.
Right.
Okay, right. Fair enough. Now, not only did he have the remarkable 73-yard punt return on which he dropped the ball just like Deshaun Jackson dropped when he brought the one back to the house against the Giants to complete that amazing comeback when Mike Vick led us to that comeback in New York. I mean, what was that, 2010?
Yep.
Okay, so 10 years almost to the day, it seems like. So on that run that he had a rush as well. He actually registered as the sixth fastest ball carrier on this 11-yard run, hitting a speed of 20.76 miles per hour. And that's only an 11-yard run, hitting that speed, an 11-yard run.
Right.
That was the sixth fastest run of the week across the entire league. Jalen Reagor, we're excited about you now.
Yeah, you got me back.
Got us back. Greg Ward cracks the list for the first time all season and is a 32-yard touchdown grab from Jalen Hurts.
G. Ward.
On which he registered a speed of 19.58 miles per hour. Ooh. He was at the bottom of the list, 18th. And it's important to add that on that same touchdown pass from Hurts to Ward, Jalen registered the third most improbable completion, Jalen Hurts, of the week. 23.7 completion probability. Pretty impressive. Third most improbable completion across the whole week, rookie quarterback Jalen Hurts.
Wow.
I was a little shocked when I saw that, to be honest. Javon Hargrave registered the second fastest sack across the entire league, with a 3.25-second sack of Aaron Rodgers, second fastest on the week.
I saw that. That was fantastic.
That was a great play. That got me fired up.
That did
because
get
that
me
came
fired
at a key
up.
Point. I believe that came on the series right before the punt return touchdown. If
right.
I'm not mistaken.
And I remember saying he was on the side of a milk box. Was it him I said that about?
Yeah, there's a couple guys that have been on milk boxes this year for the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't think some of them are still missing. You know, a couple more here for you, Tech. Jalen Mills actually had the fifth longest tackle in the league all season. Of every single defensive play for all 32 teams in 13 weeks of football, his 80-yard track down of Daniel Jones in Week 7 is essentially the fifth best hustle play of the year. Shout out to the Green Goblin, playing a new position as a pro, and not being victimized as much as I think some of us expected.
He's got to go.
I know you're upset with Jalen.
He's got to go.
We have three Jalens, man. So,
yeah, true.
Since this is a special episode, since this is a special episode spotlighting Miles Sanders, I have to note that still, across the entire league, Miles has two of the top 10 most remarkable rushes across the entire NFL, fifth and eighth. He's a game breaker when given ample touches, Doug. Give him the ball.
Don't understand this.
Give the man the
ball. Why are you
ball.
Using this guy like this?
20 carries.
What did he do?
20 carries, five targets.
Yes.
And there should be no question that that happens.
I hope so.
Lastly, Tech, I just have to note that the ridiculous touchdown interception ratio for Aaron Rodgers this year is 36 touchdowns.
The man is majestic.
Four interceptions. He's got a shot at 50 TDs, and if he finishes at a similar pace at least, you know, as we know, the record is held by Peyton Manning with 55 touchdown tosses in 2013. Tech, numbers don't lie, man.
No, they do not.
That's why they don't do it.
Well, a bad snap from the center, Martin. I mean, it's Greg, that's why you don't let him score there, right? John Madden always says you never know what's going to happen.
It's time for Prem's Picks.
These games are a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's unborn children on these games.
Oh, man. Prem's Picks.
As we just heard.
I told you about the Colts and the Texans game. I know it came down to that ending that we just heard.
Let's the fans that don't know. All right, the Texans had the upset lined up on the 2-yard line in their building, trailing by 6 with superstar quarterback Deshaun Watson in the shotgun to take a 2nd-and-goal snap. Touchdown wins the game with the extra point. Low snap, fumble, game over. Unreal. But I did say he'd be the difference, and he was, especially as he led the Texans back from a double-digit deficit in that game against an elite defense in the Colts. But execution is key. You got to seal the deal. That's a loss for me. I had a 1-3 week when factoring in the Steeler pick, which was delayed as they covered the 3 points, beating Baltimore by 5. The Charger upset pick was a complete miss, Tech, as they got destroyed at home. However, I still think Justin Herbert has a bright future, productive career ahead of him, and probably a Rookie of the Year trophy in his very near future. And I'm not the only game picker to have a tough week. Our very own Brian Westbrook, who picks 3 games per week on the Mike Missinelli show. Shout out to B West. He also went 0-3 and also lost one of his games like I did because the Matt Ryan-led Falcons fell short of the comeback touchdown against the Saints, stalling and losing 21-16 like the Falcons do. I also had that Falcon upset pick for you, Brian, so shout out to 36.
Yes, sir.
So, Tech, I stand 12-9 over my last 21 picks, good for a 750 win percentage,
okay,
which in any betting circle is worth cash.
Yep.
Here are your Week 14 locks.
Locks!
It's an 8-point line, but give me the Packers in Detroit to handle the Lions -8.
Yep.
The Lions had an impressive comeback last week against the good Bears defense, but that was more so a collapse by Chicago than what Detroit did or didn't do. And usually after emotional division games, teams have letdowns, especially bad teams. There's a lot at stake for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers in this one. Playoff home field chase. So take the 8 points with no hesitation.
No hesitation.
This is a 10-point Packer win. Lock.
Lock.
Next. The NFC East has seen the Giants play well, much to our chagrin as Eagles fans, winning 4 straight, and are now set to host the struggling Cardinals and Kyler Murray this week, who have lost 3 straight after an impressive win over Buffalo, raising their stock. Believe it or not, the Giants will still be 3-point underdogs. But I think that's accurate, Daniel Jones or not, as Kyler Murray leads the Cardinals past New York for a much-needed win to boost the fledgling team morale. Ignore the points. Just take the Cardinals straight up to win at the Meadowlands.
Okay.
Lock.
Lock.
Lastly, Tech, I'm taking the Bills. +2 in their building against Pittsburgh Steelers. Josh Allen is having an awesome year. They're rolling. They're fresh off a convincing win over San Francisco in which he threw for 375 yards.
And they look
good.
4 scores.
San Francisco is still a respectable defense, and the Bills dropped 34 on them.
Yeah.
The Steelers are coming off a pretty deflating loss at home to Washington. And while your first thought may be they bounce back, right now, as we stand here, on this Wednesday afternoon, I think the Bills are a better overall football team and win this game 27-20. Lock.
Lock.
To recap, Tech, we have Packers -8 at Detroit. Cardinals straight up to beat the Giants. Bills +2 at home over the Steelers. This has been Prem's Picks.
We'll see you next week.
Vet Alumni. Nine.